It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, along with Robin Hilton. On today's show, one of the most talented songwriters around, from Melbourne, Australia, Courtney Barnett. Courtney Barnett's new album is called Tell Me How You Really Feel, and it got me thinking, what if the audience did just that, told Courtney how they felt about her songs? So we put out this call on social media that asked, how do her songs hit you? What words stick with you? What do they mean to you? Courtney Barnett came to NPR, and we read some of these powerful notes to her, and conversation and music ensued. I begin the conversation by wondering if she cared how people interpret the songs she sings.
I don't mind how they interpret them, I think, is the thing. Like, I think songs are meant to be open for interpretation, and people are always going to project different ideas on things, depending on where their own mind is at anyway, so... Yeah.
Robin Hilton's going to read our first...
Hey, Courtney.
Hi.
Which comes from Daniel, is it?
Daniel, he writes to say, your music has meant so much to me and gotten me through a lot within the past 5 years. I've been listening to Tell Me How You Really Feel every day this summer. My last partner was very emotionally manipulative and controlling with little reciprocation of patience and understanding of my mental health needs. Walking on eggshells and I'm not your mother, I'm not your bitch helped me realize I shouldn't put myself in such terrible situations.
I'm going to play it and you think about what Daniel said, and let's see what happens.
I'm not your mother, I'm not your bitch. I hear you mutter under your breath. Put up or shut up, it's all the same. It's all the same, never change, never change.
We were flexing muscles earlier. A long story that we won't go into, but that your band is, I mean, it's so muscular. Before we get to Daniel's comment and thoughts on it, do you remember how you all got so inspired to like flame up like that? Because it's really intense.
Yeah, I'm so happy with how that song came together, because I'm sure I've got it somewhere, but I kind of wrote that song by myself with GarageBand, and I did the
The program GarageBand, right?
Yeah, and I did the bass line, and then I programmed these computer drums, and it's a really funny version of it.
God, I'd love to hear that. You don't have it on your phone or anything,
do
you?
I don't.
No, yeah,
I don't. I don't know if
this
anyone.
This is not that.
I don't know if anyone should ever hear it. But when I showed it to the band, I was like, "This is how it goes." I mean, they got it straight away. It's totally that. There's such Dave and Bones. I've been playing with them for so long, and they're just so switched on, emotionally tuned into how I write songs and exactly what that kind of energy and the emotion behind stuff needs to be, apart from obviously, amazing technical skills. But I think that emotional side of making music is just as important.
So Daniel, this song meant a lot to him.
Yeah, actually, he says all of your music gets me up in the day, and I can't help but jam to your tunes that somehow incorporate your loving understanding of mental health with the femme rock punch of frustration. You help me get all my wiggles out. And it's so comforting to know one of my favorite artists has similar problems to mine. Please keep doing what you're doing. When I saw you at the Nelsonville Music Festival, I couldn't help but push all the way down to the front, me and all the gays in love with you, just moshing.
Yes.
I wish I was there. I wish I'd been there for that.
Some songwriters write songs because it sort of helps them along in life. And then the extra benefit is that it does the same for someone listening. Do you find it, the writing of the songs, cathartic in any way for you?
Yeah, I think it's a really amazing thing that I've figured out along the way is writing songs like this in my kind of very private personal space, and then sharing them is such a vulnerable thing. But then I think the unexpected element, which I guess I didn't think about or consider, is how people connect with them. And over time, and especially, you know, the last few years of touring and people interpreting them in different ways, and that comfort that we all find in music for whatever we need, like whatever our own situation is, we're always going to find what we need in a song.
Right, because we'll each interpret the song for the problems that we have at the moment.
Yeah.
And it speak to us. Just, I mean, political songs do that, or quote-unquote political songs do that. Songs that may be about something more generic. Isn't the artist Milk, wasn't that true of her music and her songs, that some of them were very personal, but they took on a different and larger...
Well, yeah, and with a tremendous amount of honesty in them, too, which is what really resonates with people. I think people can tell when it comes from a true place.
Is the next step when you perform it, is there another interpretation for either that you make to a song or the level of catharsis for you?
Yeah, and I think that song that we just played, I'm Not Your Mother, I'm Not Your Bitch, I think that's the greatest example for me of a song making complete 100% sense in the moment of performing it. I've really struggled kind of explaining it, maybe because it really touches on some stuff that maybe the part of my brain that is self-defense mechanism kind of kicks in and refuses to admit whatever it is that I'm talking about or thinking about. So it's honest, but I think in communicating about it, it's hard to be completely honest. But in performing it, it all makes sense in the 2 minutes or whatever it
is.
Not
even.
And I can completely kind of connect with what it is and where it's coming from and all those emotions that are kind of packed in there. But then you were saying how I connect with them over time and performing them live, and I think that again is always different and always growing, because obviously there's the moment, and I think there's the many moments of writing, of being in different states of mind and different over whatever period of time it takes to write them. But performing, I think, you know, it takes on the mood of the day or the mood that I'm in when I'm performing, or whatever I might have read in the news like 2 hours before I go on stage, and it can completely give a song a different meaning or at least a different kind of path to go down.
Do you ever turn 23 and back on a couch in a place that you lived in when you wrote the thing, or, you know, does it take you back in time as well?
Sometimes, yeah, that kind of nostalgic, I think that's nice, the kind of history walk.
Yeah, cool. Let's read something else. What do we got?
This is from a fan named Circe in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She says, "The first song I really came across by Courtney was Avant Gardner. It really spoke to me. We all have days when we're having trouble breathing in. I love how truly relatable her lyrics are. Her newest album hits me in a whole new way and speaks to a different set of feelings that I think many people, and especially women, have. I'm thinking specifically of Nameless Faceless and Charity. Thank you for making such wonderful music, Courtney. I also just saw your show in Columbus, and it was phenomenal."
Thanks.
Let's do this. Let's play Nameless Faceless.
Feeling over.
that Margaret Atwood quote that's in there, when you read that, is that when you were inspired to write, or was it something that's been twirling in your head for a while?
Oh, I think the kind of overall, message and idea of that song has just been toiling around forever and for years. But that quote, I think I just wrote it down in my diary, and men are scared that women will laugh at them, women are scared that men will kill them. Yeah, I remember seeing it and writing it down and thinking how powerful it was. And then I must have just kind of slipped it in and into the song, and I kind of always had the intention to take it out, actually. I thought it was a bit too wordy. A bit like... Yeah,
wait a minute. Hello! We have Courtney Barnett.
Yeah. It happens a lot. And then it ends up... I sing it around the house, and then I get used to it, and then I can't get rid of it. So obviously it's kind of the perfect tone for that song. And that song obviously touches on so many different kind of levels of misogyny and violence, and the kind of online, like anonymous online, seemingly harmless versus the like truly physical. So yeah, it kind of encompasses that world.
The writer of that last note was talking about having those days that, how did she describe it, as sort of out of
trouble
breath?
Trouble breathing in.
Yeah. And then reaching for an artist, and I think people who listen to music beyond background or something to sing along with, who find solace in that art form, reach for something. And most artists do and did as they grow up. Someone for you who you reach for in either those breathless days or someone who you need, whose words you can really feel and connect to.
Yeah, I guess there's different people for different moods and different kind of levels of volume, but I know that a big one for me is Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell Blue is an album that I kind of calms me, and yeah, it's often a one that I go back to.
Do you want to pick a tune we play just a little? Because there are people out here who don't know, right?
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
know this record, don't know Joni. Robin's shaking his head, but
I used to be one of them. I used to be one of them.
And no shame there. Discover someone at any point in your life is worth discovering.
Exactly. I think A Case of You.
Okay, that's great.
Before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Oh, Canada. With your face sketched on it twice. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. And I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that
love is touching souls. Surely you touch my anchor. Part of you pours out of me in these lines from time to time.
What does it mean to have a voice like that? Oh my God, to be able to express so immediate and so direct.
Mm.
And like, how could you, it's impossible not to be touched by that.
Yeah, it kind of, it's quite breathtaking, I think.
Yeah. Let's go to our next, because I don't even know what to say after playing that song from Joni Mitchell, A Case of You.
This comes from Eric, who writes, "The last few years of my life have been, alongside many joyous memories, marked by my attempts to take control of my depression. I've managed to make significant progress and owe a lot of that to a wonderful, supportive partner. Upon hearing Charity, I finally found an expression of the tremendous gratitude I have for the steadfastness and dedication she's provided me over the last several years. Getting to sing along the words at the Pitchfork Music Festival this past weekend was positively cathartic. Thank you for writing a song that I didn't know I so badly needed."
That's a great line. Yeah, when you discover something that you didn't know, you didn't know how much you needed it before it arrived.
When you play and you're looking out, well, can you look? So many artists play with their eyes closed. Let's start there. And I think you're one of them.
Yeah, I think I definitely do a lot play with my eyes closed, and I used to a lot more than I do now. But I think it's a nervous and a concentration thing. Sometimes I look around and I'm trying to read what's on someone's t-shirt, and next thing I've forgotten the lyrics, and sometimes if I forget one lyric, I forget the whole song.
Wow.
I don't know, I can't pick up from the next spot. But no, I definitely I look around a whole lot more, and I really like it, looking at people and seeing them singing or crying, or it's really incredible. It's really emotional. Yeah.
I bet. Has it changed when the venues get bigger for you? Is that a barrier, or does it?
No, I think it's just always different depending on, big festivals versus kind of venues. You can always, there's always people that stand out and draw some sort of, I don't know, everyone's experiencing something, yeah. Whether it's boredom or, you know.
Let's play Charity.
Hesitate.
wish you had a guru who told you to let it go, let it go. I think that's more than likely one of the lines that our last letter writer was probably screaming at the Pitchfork Festival. It's such a great line. Did you have someone in mind when you or are we gonna let that go?
I mean, you know, I went divulged completely the stories, but it means so much to me when people. I mean, all of these letters are so incredible. It's a really kind of overwhelming, but I'm really grateful that people you know, can get so much meaning and so much, you know, some level of help, you know, even if it's loose direction in life. It's incredible.
The one thing that I've noticed at a few shows I've been to of yours is the mother-daughter, mother-son, father-daughter, father-son, like the generational thing that happens in the audience where you just see parents and their children.
Yeah.
Children could be in their 20s, but you know what I mean, bonding over this music and imagining the different meanings that these two same people are getting from the songs, because certainly when you're 22 and if you're 52, relationships have different meaning to you. And I just, my brain thinks that way, and I just imagine the little things that twirl in people's head and the conversations that might happen between families over music, which is also quite a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I've always loved looking around my crowds, and it's such a broad range of people. I love it.
I was going to say I wonder why it connects generationally, but I think it's clear. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Courtney Barnett. I'm Bob Boylan, and you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from MasterClass, offering online classes taught by masters of their craft. Each class is shot with cinematic production quality and offers on-demand lessons loaded with exclusive content. Listeners can learn about photography from Annie Leibovitz, writing from Malcolm Gladwell, music production from Armin van Buuren, and a whole lot more. For a limited time, All Songs Considered listeners get a free 7-day trial when they sign up at masterclass.com/allsongs. Support also comes from MasterClass, offering online classes taught by masters of their craft. Each class is shot with cinematic production quality and offers on-demand lessons loaded with exclusive content. Listeners can learn about photography from Annie Leibovitz, writing from Malcolm Gladwell, music production from Armin van Buuren, and a whole lot more. For a limited time, All Songs Considered listeners get a free 7-day trial when they sign up at masterclass.com/allsongs.
I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Robin Hilton. I'm here with Courtney Barnett. We're reading listener notes, interpreting Courtney Barnett's songs, or telling Courtney how their songs make them feel. Where do you want to take us, Mr. Hilton?
This is a note from Rachel, who writes, "I heard Anonymous Club for the first time while watching Clea DuVall's The Intervention. This was a time where I was deeply contemplating my sexuality and what it means to have an intimate adult relationship. Your lyrics and tone in Anonymous Club reflect intimacy in a way which finally resonated with me. Despite what the world tells us, maybe intimacy in both friendships and relationships is really just as simple and as complicated as metaphorically swapping clothes and drinking wine." That comes from Rachel.
I can really connect with what that writer said. I feel like maybe it's a lifelong journey of figuring out that kind of line of relationship and friendship and intimacy and vulnerability and all those things. But I mean, even back to the theme of interpretation, and I don't think that there's ever a right or wrong interpretation, but for me, the Anonymous Club was always more a kind of friendship, like the relationship of a friendship, and not so much, you know, a loving relationship, which is maybe what they were connecting with. So, I mean, it's a slightly different kind of interpretation, but I love that that they connected with that.
When someone uses your music for picture, something very literal, the interpretation can be locked for people. And we can countlessly, Robin, probably rattle off 20 of them, but songs and movies and their association with one another and how hard it is to, you got one in mind?
Oh, well, the quintessential one is Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes, which will forever be associated with the kid holding the boombox over his head and, you know, playing it for the girl he's trying to get.
Right, there you go. And so I just wonder how you feel about, you have an intent, you write this thing that you care about, it goes out into the world, somebody, with your permission, uses it in a film, and now it has a completely different meaning for probably a generation, because films are often generational. Okay with that?
Yeah, I think that once you kind of write a song and release it, it belongs to not just you, and it's out there for any. I mean, yeah, that you're talking about really locking it into to one idea, but I think that's fine.
It's always been my problem with music videos, though.
Well, I was just going to say it happens all the time with music videos, right, if the artist has turned it over to someone else to make for them.
I'm torn when I see music. It's like people reading a book and then seeing the movie, or seeing the movie before they read the book, and I don't know.
Maybe that's why I like film so much, because I like how, you know, the writer has one idea, the director has another idea, the producer has another idea, the casting agent has a different, and somehow all these different ideas come together, and it becomes this completely different thing from any one of those things on their own.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's do this. Let's take us out on one more. We'll play a song and one more letter. Thanks for all the people who wrote. We got some, I mean, I don't know how you take, well, you're doing well, taking to, you know, because you're humble, but taking to all these sorts of incredible compliments. Your songwriting does mean so much to people, and I think that's the most beautiful thing, and I know you feel such great fortune for being able to reach so many people and it be meaningful. I mean, my gosh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we got one more, because this person actually, Courtney, this person needs advice. Okay, so this is your...
I'm not good at advice.
No, you're going to be okay with this one, I think. Let's
This comes from Jazz or Jasmine. Courtney's music has soundtracked my transition from angsty teen into full-grownish adult beautifully and has shown me that there's someone else out there who gets it, even though she may be on the other side of the planet. I would tell you my favorite song and lyric from Tell Me, but it changes every time I listen to the album. I think it would be a bit excessive to get all the lyrics from it tattooed, so I reckon I'll have to choose just one. Love you and your music.
So,
that would be a lot of body space. I mean, if I was going to get one of those lyrics tattooed, it would probably be, I get most self-defensive when I know I'm wrong, which is from I'm Not Your Mother, I'm Not Your Bitch.
Ah.
I think that's a good kind of reminder every day to recognize where your kind of anger and frustration comes from in moments and deal with it appropriately.
Robin, help me here. What should I get?
Well, I was thinking that too. That's the first song I thought of too. I was just thinking I'm Not Your Mother. You know, a lot of people get mom tattooed on there.
Yeah.
Not your mother.
So it would say in small letters, it would say, I'm not your, and then mom. Not quite the same.
Another nice one would be, you know, it's okay to have a bad day, which is from Hopefullessness, the first track.
That's great.
That's a nice reminder.
Yeah, I
like
sure.
that. Let's go out on that song. All right. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me.
PR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Your voice.